an orphanage and special needs school in Mexico. So the slides that you saw as you came in this morning were from that experience. We had a wonderful time. Thank you for your prayers. As you might be able to hear, I'm a little bit sick from the dust that was swirling. It was very cold there and windy. It was not what you expect in Mexico. But everybody banded together. Again, we had a wonderful time. And I think you're going to be inspired by the stories that you hear and the people that will speak to you about their experience. It's so true, isn't it, that when you go and you serve others, you receive back more than so often what you give. So we're going to hear about that this Sunday. So just prepare your hearts to receive the testimonies that will be given today. And know that the Lord is good and He is faithful in and all situations, as He was for all of us who went on this trip. So let's worship God together now.
Good morning, and once again, welcome to worship. We're so glad you're here with us on this special day where the team from Rancho Santa Marta will be sharing what happened and sharing their testimonies.
Good morning. My name's Mike Clark. I'm here with my brother Greg Perot, who you may recognize. I'll talk a little bit more about Greg in a moment, but our job is to provide you with a brief overview of what happened this last week with our Rancho Santa Marta mission. I just want to remind everyone that even though we send down certain folks to go down there, this is a congregational event. This is a congregational international missions event, and that's because financially the church supports us. Financially the church supports Rancho Santa Marta. When we go down there to do work projects, we send down a check ahead of time, thanks to the missions department, so that they can procure supplies, and then we provide labor and tools and other things like that. Your prayers are a huge part of the Rancho Santa Marta mission as well. So 2 weeks ago, we handed out cards with mission team members. So for those of you who prayed for the name of the person who was on the card you got, thank you very much, because prayer without prayer, this would not work. So as most of you know, Rancho Santa Marta is a Christian non-denominational orphanage down in Baja, California. It's about 610 miles south of us. If you were to follow all the way down Highway 1, actually you're directly off Highway 1 in Baja, California. And they have about 40 to 50 students who live there year-round. These are developmentally disabled or other traumatized children. They have no other home to go to. Some of them have been abandoned. Some of them, their parents can no longer care for them. So they have about 40 of the students who are there, 40 to 50 who are there year-round. And then they have another 200 students who come on campus Monday through Friday, because they also have a school. Originally, it was a school for first through sixth. Then they added a middle school. We actually helped build the middle school building a few years back. This last year, they've now expanded to high school, so they have their first high school class, a ninth or tenth grade class. So every year, their program is expanding. But they're distinctly Christian in their mission. So the children are brought up and are taught about the Christian faith and about prayer and about the fact that God loves them. So anyway, it's a fantastic ministry. Our church has supported Rancho Santa Marta for over 10 years now, both financially as well as sending a team down. Greg and Joe Silva from our church have been down there every year for the last 10 years. So they are the champions and the most knowledgeable. So let me, first of all, ask all members of this year's Rancho Santa Marta team to please stand so that congregation can get a look at you. Yay. Now, before you sit down, stay standing. If you've ever been to Rancho Santa Marta, please stand. See, we got a lot of folks out there, so let's thank them as well. All right, you may be seated. Thank you. Our theme verse this year was Romans chapter 8, verse 35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" And we actually dug into the whole second half of Romans chapter 8. Greg led our campfire devotions each night and our morning devotions. And at least when you go away on a mission team, obviously we're dependent upon God, but the Holy Spirit manifests His presence in a very special way through our time together. And so digging into Scripture was very meaningful for all of us during the week. We took down our smallest team in the last several years, 23 members. We like to think of ourselves as a lean, mean fighting machine. And as Greg will point out, we accomplished a remarkable amount of work. As Karen and I were preparing, and registration was kind of down this year, things were a little bit slower, and some people said, well, you don't have the same number as last year. Are you going to cancel? And the answer was, no, whatever team God assembles, God will use once we're down there. We also felt a little bit of like Gideon. Remember, Gideon had this big army he wanted, army of soldiers he wanted to assemble, and God said, no, get rid of half of them, and then get rid of this other. And pretty soon it was a small team. And when you have a smaller team, you're much more, I think, dependent upon God. And so I think we experienced God's power in some amazing ways. Our youngest member, Julia Yee, middle school. Our oldest member, Art Pasquinelli, somewhere in the 80s. We don't want to define and pin him down too much. And we had our, pardon? 81. There we go. All right. And then our first member from Inouye, Paul Kim, joined us as well. So we're hoping that that will open the door to the Inouye Church helping us next year. We departed a week ago at 4 a.m. We arrived in Rancho Santa Marta at 5:45 p.m., so 13 hours, 45 minutes, the fastest traveling time to Mexico that we've ever had, thanks to Doug and Greg and their stellar stellar driving skills on the bumpy highways. This was also our coldest trip. And just as it was cold up here, it was cold down there. One of the slides I think you saw showed us at the beach. That was our first day on Sunday. That was the only warmth we experienced. The rest of the week, 36 degrees in the morning, highs in the upper 50s. So if you weren't working, you were cold. So that was another incentive to be working hard the entire time. We had, for those of you who have been before, we added several things. The beach trip that I mentioned, we're up about the same distance from the beach as we down there as we are here. And as here, there's also a mountain range that separates it. So we kind of drove down and followed dirt roads. And eventually, the way we got there is Rod, who's the director, he penciled out. He hand wrote this little map, and there's no signs to get to the beach. They just landmarkings. Like, if you go over this river, you've gone too far. You got to go back. And anyway, we eventually found our way there. This year, we conducted an all-day retreat for the teaching staff down there. So some of our teaching members helped them. So they shut down their school for a whole day and invited us to help teach them and talk with them about how to work with traumatized children and special needs children in the setting that they have down there. Pastor Kim led a healing prayer ministry for the children where they went actually out to the houses and they were spending time with the children one-on-one in prayer. And then we also tried to teach members Spanish phrases. So that was the first time we've tried that. On the walls around the sanctuary, you'll see our daily schedules and our work projects and other things like that. So that gives you an idea of how we structured our days. I want to thank our leadership team. First of all, Doug Gipps, who was in charge of finances and transportation. And he and Greg always compete as to who can lift the most tonnage of dry cement. And so I don't know which one won, but they both were in a lot of pain all week. So Greg, as you know, Greg and Mindy have relocated. They're over in Discovery Bay and very involved with the church over there. They weren't planning to go, but at the last minute we begged Greg, and he said yes, and he'd also let us use his trailer again. And so that was a big blessing to us, is having Greg. And he's in charge of all the projects and assigning people to projects and deciding what will get done in consultation with the camp director or the mission director down there. And then he was also in charge of our campfire program. It was very inspiring for all of us. Sandy Madeline, in charge of food and meals, and our Spanish speaker and beloved by the children down there. Every Sunday, we worship with the whole Rancho Santa Marta staff and children. And at some point, Sandy stands up just to say hello and thank you. And we have a running bet as to how many seconds it will take before Sandy starts crying as she's talking to the children. I timed it this year. It was about 7 seconds. But it's just so precious. And the children just love Sandy. Bill Johns came down from Washington. You know, he's moved away, but he came down and joined us again. And he was in charge of safety and did a lot of our electrical work, which Greg will describe. Rick and Susie Ward were our medics. They're both nurses. And so they were attending to all the miscellaneous scrapes and bruises and a few puncture wounds from nails. Our youth leaders, Jesse Hurrow, who is our youth director, this is his first trip down there, and he was phenomenal in his leadership and a tremendously hard worker, as well as Joe Silva, who's worked with our youth for many years. Children's ministry, Stacy E., this was her first year joining us, and so we threw her into the water, and she swam right away. She does speak a little Spanish, which is really helpful, and so she worked with Sandy and with Pastor Kim, and they put on the children's ministry for the children down there. And then my wife, Karen, of course, all thanks goes to her. She helped co-coordinate this and handled all the logistics and registration. Greg's going to discuss the projects in a moment. I just want to express my appreciation to the team members who went down. We had a phenomenal team. We got very, very close. We worked very, very hard. I was so impressed by our young people, our middle school and our high schoolers. They just were wonderful, and you can be very, very proud of them. And again, I just want to say a special thank you to Greg for the sacrifice that he's made. He's organizing a team from his church now to go down there in June. And he may be trying to recruit some folks from our church, like Doug, to help out with that. So with that, let me ask Greg now to describe. I've kind of given you the global thing. Greg will talk about what actually did we accomplish.
Thanks, Mike. Doug, you don't need vacation this year. It's a piece of cake, buddy. It was probably the most amazing week that we've ever had. At Santa Marta. We had 23 people. As I walk you through the project list real quickly, just keep in mind there were 23. Let's start with the children's program. We ran 8 classes for all 200 kids in the school at one time or another during the week. They learned about Jesus and great fun playing and making things together. It's always good for us working out on projects to see the giveaways, like the beach balls that were given away to the kids and having them play with them in the on the property later on. In addition to that, the children's ministry also met with each of the boys' and girls' houses as part of the orphanage, taking our youth to meet with them to get better acquainted again, to talk a little bit about Jesus. In terms of the teaching and ministry program, Mike highlighted that they closed the school for a whole day for our team to meet with them. We met with the teachers or the house parents 3 times during the week and talked about the latest techniques for working with special needs children. Also, as Mike mentioned, Pastor Kim and a couple of the folks also led more than 40 healing prayers for the kids in the houses. And the stories around campfire of some of those were amazing. If you take the number of people times the number of hours spent in the children's and teaching ministries, it would add up to more than 364 person hours of training during the week. Our third project was an electrical project. Bill and Art will be up to talk to a little bit maybe about that later on. But during the week, we pulled more than 1,000 feet of armored cable or conduit through the gymnasium. In addition to that, we installed the lighting, all the conduit, and the boxes and everything for about 25% of the gym, which is a 2-story facility. An amazing amount of work. And I'm sure Bill will mention to you that he had dreams on Thursday night and was up 2 hours before we left on Friday morning, so that'd be 2 in the morning, working on fixing one thing that he dreamt that he had done incorrectly. So, dedication to the cause. Our painting projects. We primed and painted about 640 square feet of wall in the gymnasium. It was an experiment. Rod wanted to see how it would look, and our crack paint team did 2 coats of primer and 1 coat of final, and it's beautiful. You'll see some of that in the pictures. We primed and painted railings for the stairs going into the gym. We primed and painted the front entrance of Santa Marta. It is now a brilliant white. The fun on the walkie-talkies leaving on Friday morning was no fingerprints on that fence, please. And we primed, stained, and varnished a 20-foot dining table for the Victor House, which was amazing. So 4 projects for painting. In addition to that, you saw one of the pictures. We put a new roof on the new pig pen. As you know, Santa Marta was a pig farm before we got there, and they still have pigs. And we installed about 480 square feet of roofing on top, which was interesting in the wind, as Doug's arm will attest, on that project. We did general maintenance. We generally do this. There's always a number of toilets that don't work and a number of showers that don't work and a number of water heaters that need to be turned on. And so we accomplished all of that. Then we demolished a building. This is one of the favorite projects for West Valley. Anything we can destroy, we're up for. It was a 16 by 20 foot cinder block building with a wood roof and about a 6-inch pad. And with a little help of the backhoe, we were then able to sledgehammer those pieces down small enough to be able to get to trucks. Just to give you a sense, we took 6 trips with the flatbed trucks for just the pad alone, breaking it up and putting it on the back of the trucks. We took 4 trips to the dump site with unusable materials. And for anybody that knows Santa Marta, they save everything. So everything else then was moved to storage areas where it could be put together. So that meant all the wood had to have nails pulled out of it. So there were nail-pulling crews going for a significant number of time. The cementing projects, our favorite projects. We're good at cement. Our first project was a pour of the foundation and footing for the new high school building. We started on Monday morning about 8:15 and finished at dark around 5:45. We poured a record number of loads of cement that Monday, 98 loads of cement. That may not sound like a lot, but each load has 2 5-gallon buckets of water, weighing about 40 pounds each, 5 5-gallon buckets of sand that have to be shoveled into the buckets that weigh about 70 pounds each, and 5 5-gallon buckets of rock that have to be shoveled into the buckets weighing about 85 pounds each, and 1 100-pound bag of cement, which filled an average of 4 wheelbarrows that had to be taken to the site to be dumped. So we estimated, based on those weights, about 1,090 pounds for each load of cement, meaning on that Monday, we moved as a team 106,820 pounds of cement. And that's why Doug can't lift his arms today, which is about 53.41 tons. That was Monday. Our second project was to fill the walls of the high school building that was already in existence on the campus. And from Wednesday afternoon through Thursday morning, we poured another 47 bags of cement, or 51,230 pounds. Our third project was to dig and prepare around 2 sides of the gym for the planter boxes. And that particular pour on Thursday afternoon, we poured 17 bags of cement for an additional 18,530 pounds of cement, setting a new record for Santa Marta, for our Santa Marta team, as we poured 175,580 pounds of cement, or 88.29 tons of cement. We finished everything we had on our list. We started the week, and you can see the project list over there. It had 11 projects. 2 of them were listed as remote possibilities that we would get to. We not only finished those 9 and the 2 that were remote, but we added 7 others to the list, all for 23 people that went on the trip. Our theme for the week, as you've heard, is God's plan. There is no plan B, and it was amazing to watch God at work for this week. Thanks.
Let us pray. Lord, may we be still in these moments and know that you are God. Lord, thank you for Rancho Santa Marta. Thank you for the opportunity to serve you. Thank you for this congregation, for their prayer support during this past week. The lives that were touched, both on our team and at the ranch, for the healing that happened, for the Holy Spirit at work, for the community that was formed, for the way you call us into ministry to spread your love, and yet, Lord, in the process, we receive more love than we give. And we think about Romans 8. The theme of that week, the fact that nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from your love that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We think about all the cement we moved, the heavy cement, lifting and straining, and yet, Lord, you took on a far heavier burden when you took on our sins. And there's nothing, absolutely nothing, that we can ever do to repay you for that amazing grace. Lord, take from us our worry and our pain this day. Lord, may we never doubt you, and forgive us when we do. Lord, we think of the ranch and how it was built on prayer, from a pig farm to an amazing place where children have accepted you as their Lord and Savior and who have a chance at life. Built from nothing, just trust in you. And we think of the small team we had this year and the way that you accomplished amazing things for the smallest team that ever went. Lord, may we never doubt you. Even when our faith is small or circumstances seem to be going wrong or when we don't have the resources that we think we need, Lord, we have you. Nothing is impossible with you. And Lord, again, so whatever's on our hearts this day, whatever we're worrying about, whether it be a loved one, whether it be our own internal pain, whether it be concerns about our finances or our families or whatever it is, Lord, we pray that you would give us the gift of trust in this day and at this time, knowing that you take the small things of the world, the things that are nothing, the foolish things, and you create your kingdom there so that you might receive all the glory. So we do give you glory today, O Lord, and we thank you for what we've heard and what we will hear. We ask, Lord, that you would bless our church and to continue to build the community here that was begun at Rancho. May we be a light shining in a dark place. May we never hesitate to give, to go the extra mile, to turn the other cheek, to be your hands and feet in a hurting world that needs you so badly. Thank you for calling us your friends. Thank you for wanting to be with us. Thank you for sending us out in the world and trusting us with this amazing gospel, trusting us with it. And may we be faithful. May we be faithful, Lord. Thank you for who you are. Thank you that we can trust you in all things. And with faith in you, we pray the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Hi. I'm Julia, and as you might have heard, I was the youngest member on this trip. Rancho was a fulfilling and enlightening experience for me, and I loved every second of it. But one moment stood out to me because it taught me something important. Backing up to Saturday, when we first got to Rancho, I was nervous about communicating with the kids and was scared it would be awkward. But on Monday, right on schedule, Lexi and I got out of work early and met with the girls ages about 6 to 19. I found out two things that day. One, Spanish 1 didn't prepare me very well for understanding anything, because I had to use Lexi as a translator. And two, the kids are happier and nicer and more interesting than I ever expected. One girl especially, Hasada, could kind of understand me, plus she had a great personality. She was sassy, full of life, she braided my hair, and she can do really cool things with her eyebrows. She showed me that these kids just want a connection and someone to play with them. And I had a blast after I realized that these kids didn't expect me to be able to speak perfect Spanish, and they accepted me and my bad pronunciation. One more thing. These kids had been through a lot, with many of them not even knowing their parents. Despite this, all the kids I saw were chatting, laughing, and eating popcorn, which they absolutely adored. This mission trip showed me that God has touched all their lives and has given them joy. This church especially has made a difference for these kids by providing so much for these kids. By not just building buildings, which I can tell you was hard labor, but also by making a difference in their lives by just interacting and loving these kids. I completely recommend coming so you can see God working at this ranch, through this team, and in these kids' hearts. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Aaron. This has been my second year going to Rancho. So we had a smaller team this year. And last year we had about, 40 people that went with us. And we had, I don't think I worked in concrete that year. But this year I had to help with concrete considering we had a smaller team. And like I think Greg said, we poured about 88 tons at the end of the week, all to help these kids that have been through so much and trying to learn in a place where they haven't really had much education. And so I helped with concrete, and I also helped with painting the fences and the railings. And even with all the work that we did, I think something that they left out on these slides, for the most part, is all the fun that we had while doing it and after doing it. So after work, we'd always eat. Sandy made us great food. And we also went to the kids' houses where the parents would give us great food to eat. And usually after campfire, we'd play fun games and just have an overall good time. Also, like in some of the pictures, there's the beach that we went to. It was, even though it was kind of a warmer day, it was still pretty cold. And I think that doing all the work that we have here and all the fun that we have, I think it's just a great experience overall. And if you want to, I think that anyone that can go should try and go. And thank you.
Good morning. I'm Bill Johns, and as many of you know, I was here for many years being your chairman for Buildings and Grounds, and I've moved up to Washington. So the logistics of planning a trip to California, and not only that, but all the way to Mexico, is a little more difficult. So earlier or later last year, I was thinking, well, maybe the end has come for my trips to Rancho Santa Marta. But I was receiving the emails from Mike's planning, and I hadn't been dismissed from that list, so I was being nudged, and I felt God telling me, Bill, go to Rancho Santa Marta. So I had no choice. I did. And I'm certainly glad that I did. He also told me to bring my electrical tools, which I'm very grateful for. And so is the ranch, because they didn't have many electrical tools on hand. Neither did they have very many complete sets of all the little parts and things that you need to do the job. But overcoming those obstacles, I was able to, at the end of the week, get the, most of the gymnasium wired. With the help of a wonderful team, one of which was Art Pasquinelli, who will speak in a moment. I enjoy working with Art. In fact, Art helped me to put up your ceiling here in the narthex many years ago. So he and I have worked together in the past, and I appreciate his qualified and patient help when sometimes I'm not the most patient taskmaster because things are getting frustrating. Art's great at running to get things for me, and helping out and figuring out methods to get things done. As well, other helpers on our team, Rick Ward became a magnificent leader of the team, pulling some of those hundreds of feet of cable through the metal studs. You may have seen the picture of people up high on scaffolding, pulling. Even Pastor Kim was one of those for a little while until she disappeared for some reason. I don't know what happened. She went to get her gloves and never came back. Yeah, she was smart. So I was able to train Rick, and he became the qualified team leader for all of that difficult section of pulling all this mechanical cable, which is a half inch thick, and it's corrugated, so it doesn't smoothly pull like electrical, the plastic Romex. Not only that, but we soon discovered that the team that had done the side of the building, which was, by the way, about 250 feet long, which we needed to pull cable through, had failed to line the holes up on the metal studs. So they were offset. These are designed, you can even put plumbing straight through there if you do this correctly, but the volunteer team that had actually done that wall hadn't thought about their electrician friends who would be following them. Fortunately, there's no plumbing that has to go up there. But you had to stand up on scaffolding and get this cable. And when you stand back now in the center of the gym and look at that wall, you see this snake going through like this. And you could only get it through two studs at a time. And we're talking about 200 feet of cable that you're trying to pull along through there. So that's a lot of grunting and groaning. So appreciate Rick. Another one was Jonathan Yoon. We taught him to be a very capable cable puller and helper, as his younger legs were able to get him up and down off that scaffolding more easily than some of the others. So he was going for different parts or jumping down when things needed to be done down below as well. Stacy Yee, another one. I came to a point where I needed some holes punched out of the wooden joists that were through the entire length of about 100 feet of ceiling, and I had to pull some additional electrical cable there, and I was running out of time, and so Stacy got up on there on the ladder with a hammer, and it's noisy pounding on those things, and she had eye protection on for my safety equipment, and she learned how to pull Romex cable through the ceiling, standing up on ladder. So a lot of good help like that. What I'm saying is that God brought our team together, enabled us to teach one another and to get the job done. In the beginning, it was an onerous task. There was not any drawing. There was a sketch, but not really a detailed drawing of how the electrical should go. There was some arm waving and finger pointing of, we want things here and there, this is three-way switches, and this is where the lights will go, et cetera, et cetera. But no details. So I had to figure all that out and then bring it together. Consequently, the whole job of wiring this, which, oh, by the way, the bathrooms haven't been walled yet, so you've got just plumbing here, and these are going to be two bathrooms, so this is going to be the office, and this has got very specific future requirements for plugs and lights, but you have to figure out on a bare cement floor where to put things in the ceiling so they'll line up in the correct place when they do build those walls. So I had gone through this whole process all week and came down literally to the wire, no pun intended, at 5 o'clock on Thursday evening. When everyone else was getting ready to go to dinner, I was still splicing the last box. So it came time to turn on the power. I wired up the circuit to the circuit breaker, the new circuit breaker that Art helped me install, turned it on, and I got no lights. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what did I do wrong? With a little bit of changing on the wires, I got one light on. And that's how I left it Thursday night. And there was supposed to be several lights on. Well, I did not want to leave Rancho Santa Marta and leave it requirement for someone to test and troubleshoot what I had done. So I was dreaming about it all night. And at 2 in the morning, about a quarter to 2, I said, aha! I know what I did. Because in the frustration and crunch of getting things done right at the end the night before, just a couple of little mistakes. So I said, either I'm going to get up and do this before we leave, or I'll have to leave a note to the staff, Steve, very qualified, retired Oregon rancher who's on staff there that works those kinds of problems. But I didn't want to leave this for Steve. So I did get up at 3:10, went back down there with my headlamp, very dark, and fixed those couple of wire connections, turned the breaker back on, and I got my lights on. So I left them on so when Steve came in, he would see them all on. So I guess the point there is that, God does have the plan and you trust in him. But in that frustration, I had kind of, doubted myself and therefore maybe doubted that God would bring me through. But he did. He woke me up at 2 in the morning and said, there you go. Go fix it. You still have a little time. So, all right. And now I'll turn it over to Art for any comments he would like.
Morning. Echoing what Bill said, normally I got up. Bill used to jog in the morning about 5 o'clock. So when he get up, okay, it's time for me to get up, put on my clothes, go to the kitchen, help out in any way I can. So Friday morning at about 2 o'clock, he gets up, and I'm awake, and I says, Bill, is it 3:30 already for me to, can we get up and go? He says, no, I figured out what the heck I did wrong. I'm going to go down and fix it. Oh, Lord, my God, jeez. So I didn't know whether to get dressed, go help him. No, I'm going to stay in bed, So this is how I time my getting up in the morning, depending on when Bill got up and everything. So it was it was my second time down there, an experience that I don't know how to describe it. It's the work you're doing for the orphanage is really, really mind-boggling. And all the work that we do and that we did with 23 of us, again, was really, really inspiring. I helped Bill in the electrical part of it. I am now an official apprentice cable puller. I don't want to see any more cable. I'm telling you, it was really an experience, but we got it done. God just seems to answer prayers, I want to thank the congregation, the people that had the cars that prayed for me, and I thank the good Lord that I'm here, so prayers work, here I am. I made a friend, the girl that braided Julia's hair. We were in church on Sunday, and I was sitting right behind her. I noticed she had this little book with Mickey Mouse on it. Well, I have a Mickey Mouse watch. And so right after that, I pointed to the book, showed her my watch, and high five, man, I got a friend. Here we go. And the same thing happened during dinner. And so I will remember her. I hope with God's plan, I will go again next year, God willing and everything. So for me, it was really a great experience. I would encourage anyone who has the thinking about wanting to go, go. You'll never regret it. I'm telling you, it's God's plan works. We were, again, 23 there, but what we have accomplished was just mind-boggling. So I thank the church and everything and all the prayers and everything. And I even got to banter a little bit with Pastor Kim. Like you said, she was in there for a while and then she disappeared. Yeah, that's okay. We got it done. One last thing. The camaraderie among the members, when we go down there, we have breakfast, lunch, dinner together. We pray at the bonfire. We sing songs, scripture led by Greg and Doug and anybody that has something to say. So you get to know people a lot closer. You know, we greet each other on Sunday, but it's different when we go down there. And we talk, we learn a little bit about each other and everything. And so it's really gratifying for me. And again, I thank the good Lord that he was able to let me go down. Thank you.
Good morning. Scripture reading this morning is from Romans 8, verses 28 through 39. That was our key verses for the trip. Follow along, please. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Good morning. I'm sorry, Kim. It's going really, really long, and we still have a few of us to talk, so maybe your sermon could go for next week or something. I don't know. Okay. So I'm Stacy Yee. Good morning. This is my first trip to Rancho, and, you know, like everybody else, I was too busy or kids were too young to go in the past, and actually, I probably wouldn't have gone this year if it wasn't for Julia saying, Mom, we're going this year, right? Mom, we're going this year, right? Mom, we're going this year, right? Yes, Julia. Okay, we're going. So we did go, and I'm so glad I did. To start out, I just want to say that it's no surprise, but people at Rancho have very little in terms of material possessions or comforts. I was just so glad to get back to my dishwasher, to my toilet that flushes toilet paper, to my more than 3-minute long shower. It was really fabulous. But down there, they just really, they treasure everything. One example is an 11-year-old boy named Osiris. Osiris, he was super sweet, and we had a piñata. It was big, angry birds, huge red piñata that all the kids, you know, beat to a pulp, and then stuff fell out of it at the end. And Osiris, I'm sure he got some stuff out of the piñata, but what he wanted is he wanted that torn apart Angry Birds piñata. He was so happy to carry that back to his house. He was just... he was glowing because he could carry this torn, seriously, in like many different places. Could tear, yeah, that there it is on the picture. But that was in looking good. So he just wanted to carry that back, and I have no idea what he would have done with it, but I would have thrown it in the trash. And God bless Osiris for loving that. When Kim asked me to speak, I really didn't have any idea of what I was going to say. But when I crossed the border back into the United States, the Holy Spirit made it absolutely clear as to what I should talk about. As I saw the opulence and the privilege that was such a stark contrast to what people possess or don't possess in Mexico, a single sentence kept repeating in my brain. We are focused on the wrong things. We are focused on the wrong things. We are focused on the wrong things. So what are the right things? What do the people at Rancho focus on that we as a society don't? Well, that's from Matthew 20, verse 22, verses 36 through 40. When a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. That is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on to these two commandments." I saw not only the people at Rancho, but others we interacted with in Mexico live out these two commandments. In terms of love the Lord your God, at church at Rancho, we attended church on the Sunday right after we got there. The leader of worship kept asking the congregation what they're thankful for. We'd get up, we'd sing a few songs, we'd sit back down, and he'd ask the congregation again, "Okay, so who wants to get up and talk? Get up and say what you're thankful for." And time and time again, I mean, we stood up, sat down, stood up, sat down, stood up, sat down. People kept standing up. Students, teachers, others who attended the service kept getting up and talking about all their blessings. They spoke about the Lord. They spoke about their families, their friends, their health. And I understood this because I understood a little bit of Spanish, so I could tell what they were talking about. And they spoke with true joy in their hearts. They were wholeheartedly praising God for what he has done for them. Now, in terms of loving your neighbor as yourself, obviously we did this as a team when we were helping each other. But I also saw this over and over again at Rancho, and two quick stories come to mind. One afternoon, Sandy and I had gone to town to buy a couple of things. So she'd driven both of us into town along with Kim. And we stopped at a store, and we ran into someone who had attended that church service, where people had got up, sat down, got up, sat down. And he recognized Sandy. And so she started talking with him a little bit in Spanish. We needed one particular thing. And he knew where to get it. So he was explaining to Sandy in, like, all of these different terms. You go down here past the church. You turn left. You do this. You do that. Sandy's like, "Okay. Great. Thank you." So we got back in the car and we started driving. Did we find the place? No, we did not. We found another place that was like this, some furniture store or something, and which was not what we needed. And so she's like, "Do you want to get out?" "I don't want to get out. I'm not getting out." So we were in the car, and then all of a sudden, the same man drives up alongside of us. Same guy. And he is like he was following us. And we roll down the window. He looks out at us, and he says, "You know, just come follow me. Come follow me." So Sandy did. And he took us to the exact place. He took us inside the place, took us exactly to where it was that we needed, made sure that the cashier helped us. I mean, who here does that? You know? And so that was just outstanding to me, to watch somebody do this, somebody who didn't even know. And so that was one of my stories. And then the other story has to do with a young man named Sam. He was from Oregon, and he was teaching English on the ranch, so he was living on the ranch. And Sam worked with us a couple of the days, and he shared campfire time at night a couple of times. And when we were packing up to leave at 3:30 in the morning on Friday morning, after a hard week of work, Sam showed up. Nobody asked him to. He just showed up. We asked him, "Sam, what are you doing here? You know, why are you here? You're not going to come with us, are you?" And he responded that he just wanted to say goodbye. He got up in the morning, just wanted to say goodbye. I mean, really, 3:30 in the morning. So Rancho is really a place filled with happiness, and I truly believe that it's because the people there have their priorities straight. First and foremost, they demonstrate great love for the Lord and for each other. Thank you.
Do these shoes make me look shorter than him? So, Jonathan, what did you learn on this trip? What did you do on this trip?
There are many things to many fun jobs and activities to do at Rancho. For example, I played with the kids at the school.
I helped string electrical wire through the through the walls of the gym. I shoveled rocks. I shoveled sand. I shoveled rocks and sand. I shoveled rocks with sand. I shoveled sand with rocks. I shoveled sandy rocks. And I shoveled rocky sand. Basically, there's a lot of shoveling involved. Not that shoveling rocks and sand isn't fun, but I learned that I should stay in school.
So, Jonathan, how did you see God at work?
There are many ways that I saw God at work. For example, I saw God at work in the children who were placed in the orphanage, either by their parents or because they had no other alternative. Most of these children had lived at Rancho Santa Marta without a parent for the majority of their lives, causing them to feel either abandoned or unloved. But however, every day these children had smiles on their faces because they knew that they had God's love, and God's love is always at work. Another way that I saw God at work on this mission trip was in seeing the progress and improvements that the ranch had gone through over the numerous years. Although this was my first time going on this mission trip, I was told that the ranch had started out as a small pig farm. Right now, the ranch is an orphanage and a school consisting of over 100 disadvantaged children who now have a relationship with God. Truly, it had to be God's work that allowed for a small and rundown pig farm to transform into a home for many amazing and promising children.
You know, a lot of times on mission trips like this, we say that we hear that the work we did for God was less than the work that God did for us. So how did God work for you?
I answered the last question, Dad. You can take it from here.
Okay, fair enough. So it was great to be able to experience life outside of Silicon Valley for a few days. In another country, in another culture, it was great to see that God was so big that he could handle problems in this world. And so I was able to see a hope for the world. It was also great to see how a group of people from different parts of this extended church family could come together and accomplish great things with God's leading if we were united and fully aligned to a common objective. And that gave me great hope for the church. And speaking of that, a big shout out to Jesse, who jumped right in and to build relationships both in middle schoolers and high schoolers, the way he's jumped in with the connections with both boys and girls. He actually got 5 middle schoolers and high schoolers to wake up before 6 in the morning to hike up to the hills in a cold, dark weather to watch the sunrise. And they all came back with smiles on the faces as if they had a great time. And the kicker is, it was, as sunrises go, it was pretty miserable. It was cold, it was cloudy, and so the sunrise wasn't that spectacular, but they had a great time because they had built connections with each other. And that gave me great hope for this church and the future of this church, to see Jesse jump in right in and see the relationships he's built in these last few days, the relationships he's built in these last few months, just starting off. That gave me great hope for this church. And from God's sunrises to God's sunsets, God's work was more and more impressive every day, much like the size of Rick Ward's bonfires. It was more and more impressive each day. And every night as the fire subsided and we got done checking to make sure our eyebrows were still in place, we got to hear the devotionals that Greg led. And they were awesome and every bit as much quality content as you would expect to hear from a big-name conference speaker. He spoke to us in the book of Romans about God's plan, and we got to see a hope for us as individuals. So in this trip, I could see hope for the world, hope for this church, and hope for me. And although we worked really, really hard, and we did shovel a lot of rocks and sand, I don't think that the work was as great as the work that God did for us. And yeah, your mother and I would not be opposed to you staying in school, Jonathan. Yeah.
So everyone take a deep breath, because the sermon is a typo in the bulletin. You can breathe. But what does that tell you? It tells you that the sermon came from the participants, right? And every one of you who shared, thank you so much. You were right on, and you blessed me this morning. That's the way the early church was. Before anything was formalized, they would come together and they would say, guess what God did? Guess what we saw? Guess what we experienced? And they would share together and they'd inspire one another. And I think that's the true meaning of church, when we can get up here and say, I'm so excited about what the Holy Spirit did. So all of you, thank you for your support, whether you went on the trip or you prayed, whatever you did financially, supported this experience. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And you too, this week, can experience the same thing by maybe moving out of your comfort zone a little bit, by perhaps trusting God in a difficult situation, or maybe just knowing maybe a little more deeply that nothing you go through can ever separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Go in the grace and the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, and may you know that nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate you from his love. Amen.